the Speaker of the House, the Honorable Paul D. Ryan, who joins us right now from Washington. Mr. Speaker, thanks for joining us.
With you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and you're doing great. And maybe you can just respond to some of those voices out there. And it's a minority. It's not even a majority of the so-called Freedom Caucus in the House who say that the budget deal that is going to avoid a government shutdown and put us onto regular order for next year so they can take these spending bills separately one by one. How is it? What do you say to the people who say this budget deal is a betrayal and surrender to the Democrats?
Yeah, well, it's obviously not. Why do you think the Democrats are howling and screaming about it? Why do you think Pelosi's having a hard time with their caucus on it?
Because they wanted a shutdown, didn't they?
Yeah, they wanted a shutdown, but they also wanted a lot of things in this bill that they did not get. But here's the point I would say. As you know, I inherited this process, and this cake was fairly well baked by the time I came into this job. And so when I got involved, I tried to make it much better, and I think we did. Number one, we are giving the military the tools they need to do their job, to get the resources to them that they need. Number two, look at the tax bill we just passed. Permanent tax reform for businesses and families that have been escaping us for years. I've been in Congress for years fighting for tax permanency and certainty for our hardworking taxpayers and businesses. We got that done. That's in here. That passed today. Now with the omnibus bill, look, I don't like these omnibus bills. One of the reasons why I think people ask me to be speaker is I never liked this kind of a process. So this is the process that we inherited this year that we're completing so that we can have a regular order process next year and have an open and transparent process like we have done in every other aspect of legislating here in Congress. Now, there's also a little hysteria, hyperbole, and just innuendo with respect to this bill. For instance, the H-2B worker provision in here, which is an immigration thing. It's like 8,000 temporary workers for 1 year is all this provision provides. It's been a provision that's been out there for months. The committee passed it in July. Nobody mentioned anything about it. It's a tiny provision, but I think there are those for various reasons who are trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, make an issue something that it isn't. And that's what you're kind of hearing and seeing on the internet these days. If you take a look at what is in this bill, what this bill actually does, it has a permanent lift, a permanent removal of the ban on petroleum exports, on crude oil exports.
Which is huge for our economy, right?
40 years in this country. Think of what we get by removing the ban from in the Obama administration on oil exports. When America can export its oil, that means we can compete with OPEC. We can put OPEC out of the business of controlling the world oil markets. We can take Putin out of business with respect to selling oil and gas to his customers. We can create more jobs. We can become more independent. We can keep our prices low by having more control over the marketplace and create more jobs right here in America. It's fantastic for our foreign policy. It's really good for American jobs. And it's something that we're actually getting done that we haven't been able to do for decades. And we're very, very happy about this.
And there's something else that's great about it. It really, really hurts environmental extremist Democrats. And it really, really hurts Iran. I mean, you'd think that's a good thing, right?
It hurts Iran tremendously. And it can't be too late because Iran, with all these sanctions that are being lifted that we completely oppose, that Obama's doing, in his capacity, this helps us beat Iran to the punch. This helps us help to not dominate the world oil markets. But I go a few steps further. What this bill does also, as the former chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, I have a big concern about the Internal Revenue Service. So I went and put riders in this bill preventing the Internal Revenue Service from trying to pull the stunts they pulled in the 2012 election. The IRS allowed the Obama administration to turn them into a political weapon to infringe upon free speech and to intimidate conservative groups from exercising their free speech rights to participate in political speech. So we have a rider in here that prohibits the IRS from putting out a regulation on this. It's called IRS 501c4s. We put a rider preventing them from doing this. The Securities and Exchange Commission was going to actually have disclosures of corporations and their political giving to try and intimidate business people from participating in elections. We put a rider preventing that. So we wanted to make sure that we were going to have a fair 2016 and take away the IRS and their ability to try and do in 2016 what they did in 2012. So there are so many things like this that we were able to accomplish here, in addition to funding the military, in addition to opening up oil exports, in addition to putting, you know, limits on the IRS,
and look, can I mention something?
Pro-life riders that we feel very strongly about.
If I can mention something else, Mr. Speaker, a lot of people have been worried about this medical devices tax, and as a recovering cancer patient, as you know, this is important stuff. The medical devices tax was going to kill an industry,
right?
And this deal postpones it for 2 years, and by that time, we could have a Republican president and get rid of the whole darn thing.
That's right. So, plus, we made sure that the president could not bail out insurance companies in Obamacare, and we prohibited those risk corridors from being funded. It's another way of saying
that Senator Rubio took
the administration from being able to bail out these insurance companies because Obamacare is failing.
And wasn't that an initiative that Senator Rubio fought for in the Senate?
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Yeah, Marco was a big backer of this in the Senate. That's right.
And look, the point is that I you said it very well at the very opening of this conversation. When people on the Democratic side of things are crying and moaning and despairing, and Republicans, including members of the Freedom Caucus, including fighters like Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and even David Brat, are saying, you know what, we really move forward with this deal. How is it that anybody couldn't see that this is a great day for conservatives and Republicans?
Well, I hate big omnibus appropriations as well, and I hate the fact that we have to lump these things together, and that's unfortunately how the process evolved this year. But doing this and getting this done helps make sure that it doesn't happen next year so that we can get back to regular order, so that we can have a better appropriations process. But the purpose of doing that is so that we can hold this big federal government accountable. And we scored major policy wins for conservatives for our country in this bill. We advanced our principles. Did we advance all of our principles as far as we want to go? No, because we're in divided government. But we did advance them in the right direction. So the way I look at these things is take what you can get now and then go fight for more later. And I think we've set ourselves up for more success in 2016 so that we can do that.
Mr. Speaker, so much appreciate your time. I wish you and your beautiful family a Merry Christmas and congratulations on the new beard.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Which I understand is accepted with good grace, not just in hunting season, but generally by Mrs. Ryan. That's